Good morning. It's a huge weekend in Atlanta, and this is the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Squid Billy Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P Johnson stands for.
Yeah. Wait,
I think I mixed that up a little bit.
You got to start respecting people's speakers more in the morning, man. It's just, you know what?
No.
Hold on a second. Please don't turn the channel if you're out there in the car.
Let me tell you something. Here's the hypocrisy. Here is the hypocrisy. I can't say it on the air, but because it's technically a bad word in Spanish, but the caca that you're spewing out of your mouth is when Steak does the ridiculous, you have no problem. In fact, you like do all these body hand signal motions to welcome it in. But
Lane Kiffin fist pump, like where he sees it.
But when I do it to start our own show,
yeah,
you have this ridiculous reaction to it, and
I just I don't know what it is. I think you're closer to the microphone than he is, man. Like, I think you're just tighter in there. The volume of you.
I'm just younger and got a better voice.
10 feet away from the microphone than you are.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. Yeah, how could you tell? Because you're looking at the sky and the ground and doing all. You don't even look. I look at him. He's right
Lane
in it.
Kiffin.
It hurts. It hurts to hear. You need to have some respect for me and our show. And I'm not going to stand for it.
I'm just trying to get you to respect the listeners, that's all.
You're playing the role of other people right now, and I need you to play the role of you, all right?
I'm not sure when we've ever done a show by ourselves that I have not played this role. I don't know what you were looking for.
Well, I'm telling you that I've had enough of it. You need to stop disrespecting me. If you're gonna suck up to other people and give them this ridiculous credit for doing the exact same thing but worse, then you're not going to give me flack for it. So know your role. Know your role.
Don't say it.
Know your role.
Don't say the second part.
Know
of that,
your role.
Then we're really going to have issues in here. Halloween yesterday, man. I have one question leading into the show about your Halloween experience, and it's not about how much candy you gave out, or did you light a fire when it was 80 degrees outside, or did you pull the TV out in the driveway?
And I did pull the TV out.
The question is,
pulled the chairs.
Did you see a little girl in a princess outfit last night and think to yourself, "Oh my God, that's going to be little Squidette here in 2 years. That's going to be her just rolling down the street holding daddy's hand." Did that hit you at all last night? Did the big bad Bo get in his feelings seeing any little girls at Halloween last night knowing that he's got one on the way?
No,
a bun in the oven.
This little girl, she's probably like maybe 2, 3. I don't know because I don't know how tall she's going to be. She could have been a Johnson child, or she could have been like,
whoa. Don't you bring my kids into that.
I do all the time. Your kids are tall.
It's fun.
They're tall. My buddy Gardner, his kids, his daughter is I think she's like 8 or 9, and she's in gymnastics.
Tall girl.
And I said to him, I said, "Hey, are you prepared? And are you preparing her when she sizes out of gymnastics? Because she's already almost there." And he goes, "Yeah, we know this is gonna be a hobby." But She's a little girl, walks up, and she's got rollers in her hair. And I go, "Amy, look at this little girl. She's got these rollers are amazing." And the mom goes,
"Yes.
She's a crazy cat lady."
Yo.
Yes.
No, she didn't.
Yes. And I look down, and the little girl's holding the cat.
Yes.
And I was like, yes.
Yes,
and I looked at the mom, and I go, "Take all the candy you want. You guys have that's a fantastic outfit." But it was not princess. I go, "I want to be the dad that has the out-of-the-box, trendy outfit for their kid."
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those things. Here's the bottom line about kids on Halloween, and I know people out there listening to me will vibe with this today. All right, no matter what you plan on dressing them up as, you better have a backup, and you better have a backup to the backup. Because we went through 3 costumes yesterday before I could even get my kids to settle down. I thought I was going to have to throw hands with my 4-year-old yesterday. He was supposed to be Iron Man. His backup costume was a minion, and he ended up going as a dinosaur. You know what I mean? So I thought I was going to have to come out and knock knuckles with him. I was like, "No, sit down. Sit down and put your sight. Daddy, dinosaurs don't wear shoes. I don't care. You're wearing shoes tonight.
Dinosaurs don't wear shoes,
Daddy."
You should have said, "I mean dinosaurs, you know, kid."
he started roaring at everybody, man. I was "Sit down."
I love the fact that your son that when he plays when he goes in character,
yeah,
he does not.
He's in the zone.
He does. Well, no, he doesn't cut corners. He's like, I ain't wearing shoes, yeah. And I'm roaring at every person I see.
Yeah, he did. And he did, man. And it was a fun night. Man, we had a great night. Hopefully everybody out there listening had a great night last night as well, getting that Halloween trick-or-treating in. My kids got an unbelievable amount of candy last night. Unbelievable amount.
Well, we saw more trick-or-treaters. It was funny because last year we didn't see as many trick-or-treaters, and we were as close to the fire as we could get. This year we were as far back from the fire as we could get, and we saw a ton. I will tell you the moment that freaked me out a little bit.
Okay.
Is my neighbor – excuse me, he's my neighbor that I don't see, I don't talk to as much. He's one of my next door neighbors, and they're from South Africa. And so him and I, every time we talk for like an hour and a half, but then we won't talk for 3 months, just as more than a passing. And his daughter, when he first moved in, was tiny. Like, I don't even know if she was walking.
Newborn, okay.
She might have been walking, and then I saw her last night before she actually went as a dinosaur.
Mm.
She's so tall now.
Yeah.
Like, compared to what I still think of her as a little kid, like a toddler, and she's not really a toddler anymore. Mm. She's probably, like, Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, oh.
Yeah. Happens quick, man.
I looked at her and I go, oh, shoot. Like, they grow fast, don't they?
That's going to happen
quick.
Yeah,
that freaked me out a little bit.
Real quick, we got 60 seconds left. Want to touch on this Thursday night football game because I want to make sure we get as much Falcons in as possible. Texans against the Jets last night. The Jets being a 2.5-point favorite. We talked to Steak about it yesterday, man. Vegas knew something. No reason for the Jets to be a favorite in that game. They pull it off. A couple of late theatrics, a field goal that hit but opted to take the penalty and then ended in a doink at the end of the game, kind of flipped things. But Aaron Rodgers ended up doing some Aaron Rodgers things. The Jets get back in the win column. I know that was massive for them, but I don't know how much of it you caught last night with all that candy you're handing out. What'd you think of Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, the Texans? They've got some things to figure out themselves. They're still in Cinderella mode, those Texans, but they got some things to figure out.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite the team. That's why I question them being in the power rankings as high as they were. Offensive line play for New York was not very good last night in the first half. You had to drop the touchdown that wasn't. Once again, a player, Corley, is running in the end zone, and he drops the ball at the one-yard line. I don't understand it. They did look – it felt like Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams started to kindle magic up with Aaron Rodgers in the second half. But I think the Texans – Will Anderson was banged up at some point last night.
Yeah.
I think the Texans have some problems, and I don't know. It's hard to identify all of them, but the fact that C.J. Stroud made as good of plays as he made at times last night, and they still lost, it would be concerning to me.
Yeah, I agree. They're not full strength, but they kind of have to move forward with what they've got, right? And that's just kind of what D'Amico Ryans is looking at. All right, we're going to move on. I got to hit break. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and Dallas Cowboys. I walked in this morning. I said, Bo, watched some film yesterday on the Dallas Cowboys, and I watched one player who used to be my hero, and I got sad yesterday, man. But I think it's good news for Atlanta Falcons fans. We'll do that on the other side. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift. It's Mike and Bo, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan. Look, man, talking a lot about the Halloween, the trick-or-treating. Bo got in his feelings last night, seeing a couple, you know.
All right, don't mischaracterize what I told you.
No, you said
that.
I started getting emotional.
No, I did not. I never used the words emotional. I said it hit me. The man that they can go fast.
Hit you emotionally.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It just
hit me. No, it's okay, man.
See,
Dad Bo is going to be so fun. Dad Squid is going to be the best, man.
You know what?
Just let it flow through you.
This show started late. Thank you, Dylan. It started at 6:04. And in 19 minutes of a show, I have realized that your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Is that right?
That's right.
Dang, it's only taken that long. 19 minutes. All right, that's fair.
Your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Okay. All right, but I'm just...
Because that's twice you've said something...
That's not true.
That's not true, and you've mischaracterized me, and you're being a hypocrite about it. Like, you know what else you're doing? You're projecting.
Oh, is that what...
Yeah, you're projecting.
Don't you put me on the couch to stare at the ceiling right now?
Yeah, it's Dr. Squid.
Dr. Squid.
I actually think Bo kind of cooked up right there talking about you projecting a little bit.
Is that what it is?
I do think you're projecting slightly.
My daughter dressed as Elsa last night with a light-up dress, like a battery-powered light-up dress. I was in my feels, man.
Thank you, Dylan.
She was definitely the princess of the neighborhood last night.
It's very acute of you, Dylan, to notice that.
I will not. See, I can
use big words when Tiffany's not here trying to intimidate me.
Acute has five letters.
Yeah, but it's still a word that's not very well used, and it's considered a big word when used in the right context.
I will not have a chance to put my daughter to bed Saturday night because I will be at the Atlanta United game. That coverage starts at 6 p.m.
You're welcome.
And the Atlanta United game will be at 7. The Hawks face off with Sacramento tonight. That's at 7:30.
They're a good team, though.
Sacramento's been a pretty good team. And the Hawks should be, but these injuries we talked about the other day are going to last, and they're going to linger for quite some time. And so we'll see how the Hawks can bounce back. Quinn Snyder get that drawn up. Hopefully they can get back in the win column because it was a rough stretch the last couple of games. The Falcons, however, will be facing off with the Cowboys on Sunday. Now, I mentioned this going to break. There was something about the film yesterday, watching Dallas against San Fran last week, that made me sad. And then I went back to the week before that, and I can't remember off the top of my head who Dallas played, but I watched the same film, and I thought, man, it's just got to be a one-off. Maybe it was San Fran that was just messing with his head, man. Zach Martin, dude. Zach Martin has been with the Cowboys 10 years. The guy, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer. He has played right guard at the elite of the elite levels for a long time. I saw his PFF grade early in the week, and I didn't want to believe it. I went out there, and I was like, PFF ain't always right. You know, it's situational. You don't ever know what these guys are being asked to do. He's like the 34th ranked guard in the NFL. I'm like, there's no way this Hall of Famer, this dog, is going to be ranked 34th. I saw what I saw, man, and I saw a 34th ranked guard. That's not saying you're the worst of the worst. How many starting guards are in the NFL? 64. Now, Chris Lindstrom on the flip is ranked at 2. And the guy, James Daniels, ranked at 1, is out for the year and has been out for a month. So I don't think his grade's going to go down at all. All right, maybe there's a snap minimum. All right, so Chris Lindstrom, all intents and purposes, the best guard in the NFL right now. Zach Martin, who should be and has been for a long time, he's not that guy. And I am just I want to get your feelings on this because we've talked about Grady. We've talked about Onyemata, who I don't think has shown the same ability that he did last year to try to get some things going. There might be some opportunities there this weekend, man, from that interior. Hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, but I'm upset that we don't get Rook this week. And he has not been ruled out, for the record. But he had his second straight DNP. I did not think that it looked like he would be a guy playing when I saw him leave the locker room Sunday. I looked at him, I was like, well, he's going to be out a couple weeks. That's just my sense. But, you know, I think you could get Troy Anderson back this week because he's been limited. But I think you get him back. I think that could help you there. And the reason I mean that is, look, if you can eat up, if Grady or Eddie or Onyemata or TQ can kind of eat some of these blocks and these linebackers can play physical and get off of instead and shed and stack, they might be able to take advantage of Zach Martin being a lesser player.
No.
And right now. And look.
Don't ever meet your heroes, man. Don't ever watch their film.
Honestly, Zach Martin's he's the last man standing.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? I agree with you. This is a Dallas team, and I don't know if I realize it until now. This is a Dallas team that's going through a soft rebuild. I think they've established that they like CeeDee and they like Dak. But the fact that they weren't willing to go out and pay Derrick Henry first and foremost, and I don't know that they had the room to, and the fact that they've kind of let some turnover happen along the offensive line, along the defensive line, some of the other spots, like I'm not saying they're completely hitting the blow-up button, but when you look at their roster, Dallas is they're in a soft rebuild. They're like, all right, CeeDee and Dak are our guys, but everybody else, man, it's time for y'all to earn some money or we're going to go through the draft to get this thing kind of rebooted on the roster.
What if I disagree? But agree at the same time.
Oh, that's probably not that's not good radio. What do you got?
Well, I would tell you maybe offensively in the trenches, they're doing a soft rebuild. But I would tell you that defensively, they still have – now they're missing guys on defense, but they went into the season with DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Deron Bland. Trevon Diggs.
That's a good point.
Jordan Lewis. Those are all pros.
The first three guys you mentioned are all pro players.
Donovan Wilson, still on the roster, right? Malik Hooker, still there. Those guys are all there. Now, obviously, Malik Hooker wasn't drafted in Dallas, but those guys are still there. And then you look at Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Cooks, C.D. Lamb, whether they're playing at a high level or not.
Right.
Jake Ferguson is a good tight end. Dak's still there. You know, you thought Rico Dowdle, who's been kind of banged up, was a guy that kind of step up. And Deuce Vaughn, I think Deuce Vaughn's probably not used as well as he is.
He's got to be so frustrating to play defense against because you can't see him until he's right in front of you. But he's like a guy, you know. It's like playing hide and seek in a forest with a little kid. Like just tucking behind the trees.
Dude's got 9 touches this season, so I don't know what's. Yeah. And I'm not gonna lie, I have not watched a ton of Dallas tape or film or studied them. I watched a little bit with you the Niners game we talked about the other day,
right?
Or you talked about watching the other day the morning, but. So they might be rebuilding in the trenches offensively, but they got Tyler Smith still. You know, they do have Tyler Guyton. He's a rookie. They got him out of Oklahoma in the first round this year, so it's a guy that they're trying to add on to. And then they got Cooper Beebe. So they got 2 rookies on this offensive line. So it's accurate in the trenches for them.
Yeah.
But overall, as a team,
of course, you know that's what I'm looking at, right? And you know what's funny? And you mentioned Tyler Smith, their left guard. He's a very good player and has been a guy that's been very solid for them. I think he's in his 3rd year. Over the last couple of years, he's been very good. I actually thought, on the flip side, I don't think his film that I watched matched up with what I think his grade is. Right now, he's like a top 20 guard grade-wise in the NFL. I didn't see that on tape. I thought he actually, in the game 2 weeks ago, you'll have to remind me who they played 2 weeks ago, I thought he actually looked worse than Zach Martin. He was ducking his head. He didn't look comfortable in run blocking. Their run schemes and everything else they're doing. And here's the rub, and we've talked about this. We talked about it a couple days ago. At what point do they think about adding Dak into the run game? And I say soft rebuild because I've looked at some of the things they've done, and maybe it's a reaction to the injuries they have had to Micah Parsons and Deron Bland and now Trayvon Diggs. I just wonder if they're like, man, it's just not worth it. Don't have the horses right now. We'll just wait till later. The fact that Dak has less than 20 carries this year is appalling to me. He's that guy that has to run the football in this offense, and he's not being asked to do that. It's almost reminiscent of what Jalen Hurts is when Jalen Hurts is a little gimpy, right? Jalen Hurts is a little gimpy. He's not running at full speed, but when he is, that offense goes. That offense is a good offensive line, great receivers, great running back, all these dogs around him. But if he's gimpy, it's not the same. I think a lot about the Dallas Cowboys like that with Dak Prescott. He's not running the football. They're not utilizing his legs. He's moving around the pocket, but he's throwing it downfield. They still have some explosives. But I don't see the same guy.
They had to bye 2 weeks ago. It was week six. They lost to the Detroit 47-9.
Exactly.
They've been outscored 77-33 in their last 2 games. Now, they've played Detroit in a weird, I would say, San Francisco team because of the injuries. You don't really know exactly what they are or what they're not, but it's still a .500 team. I told you going into the season, what did I tell you about Dallas? What was the one thing I said about Dallas, if you remember?
I don't know, man. The contract situations are hanging over their heads. They have to stay healthy on defense.
I told you that they were going to miss Dan Quinn.
And you know what? You did say that. I actually give you credit for that.
And you go, oh, Mike Zimmer, he's a good DC. And I think Mike Zimmer was a good DC.
There's a key word in there.
I don't think he is now.
Woof.
I don't think he was very good the last few years in Minnesota. Their defenses to me weren't that great. The defense, it just wasn't. I down the stretch, I don't think they are the worst scoring defense in the league. They're the second worst. They're 31st in scoring. They're 31st in rushing. They're 29th in yards per play in the passing game. They're the worst defense in the red zone, and they're not creating turnovers.
Yeah.
They're not creating turnovers. Whether that's the loss, some of that has to do with the loss of Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this Dallas offense clicks a lot better when their defense is playing the way they've played in the past. And they're not. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to hear from Dak Prescott because he thinks he understands the magnitude of this game.
Yeah.
And he feels very confident going in. And honestly, if I'm an Atlanta fan, that should wake my butt up.
Mm. Got right? alarm bells going off for the Atlanta Falcons fans. So we'll hit the Falcons more at 7 o'clock today. We also got our picks later. We got Dave Archer coming up down the road. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of college football. All right? The cocktail party this weekend. Is there a way for both teams to leave happy this weekend? And does a loss really even matter for the Georgia Bulldogs?
All right, You're asking too many questions.
We'll hit that coming up on the other side of the break. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 6:42, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Lots of college football to get to. There was college football played last night, probably some tonight, and a lot going on tomorrow. By the way, ding, I'll be at Buffalo's up in Hamilton Mill for the Georgia-Florida pregame party. If you want to stop by and say what's up, all right? And we'll listen. I'm going to try to console Bo today heading into that one, but I'm not going to bother him tomorrow for that game. Before we
Can I say something real quick?
I'm sure you will.
I appreciate how we interact with each other on game day if one of our teams is A, struggling, or B, loses.
Yeah.
Because nothing irritates me more than people you never hear from.
Yeah.
And you obviously point. I hear from you all the time because you know, I have to talk to you. I'm like forced to talk to you on a daily basis and vice versa.
Good way to put it.
But nothing irritates me more than when you don't hear from people for like weeks or months and they randomly text you when your team is losing and they don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, how convenient.
It's it's even worse for me because no matter how I even feel about the team or about what's going on, obviously people just are like, oh, let me talk to Mike about Alabama.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just like, dude,
different.
I don't want to talk about it. Right.
Ever.
I don't want to talk about it off the microphone sometimes on a text message from somebody I don't normally talk to. So there you go.
I'm more of the let's trash talk leading up. Once the game starts and is over, there's a moratorium. And I do believe, unless they have done it to me, I believe in letting people get over a loss before I come out. Like Sandra, she's a Florida State person. I don't rag her about Florida State losing every week until like Tuesday or Wednesday of each week.
Florida State, that's a whole other thing. Before we get to college football, before we get to the cocktail party, Jorge Soler is moved yesterday. I did not expect to be talking about a Braves trade on November 1st, I got to be honest with you. But nonetheless, your comments on this yesterday when this trade came through, I thought, were pretty spot on in what you texted to me and Dylon yesterday talking about the show today. I don't know what to think about it, but I wasn't sure how it was going to pan out anyways. It seems like they've just kind of thinned the herd a little bit in terms of the outfield and the lineup.
Yeah, it's a salary dump is what I look at it as. $26 million off the books over, I think, the next couple of years. You can only have so many outfielders who can't play defense and their swing and miss rate, you know, is high. I mean, I know Soler walked a good amount, but he, let's be honest, it's either home run or bust. He's very much like Marcelo Ozuna in a lot of ways. I think it's a salary dump, and I think that there's a really, 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 really good chance that Griffin Canning, who they got in return, could be tendered. If he's not tendered, he will definitely be a guy that will vie for the fifth starter spot come February and March. You know, he's 25 and 34 in his career. His ERA is a little under 5 for his career. He's a guy that throws 5 pitches, but he really relies on 3 more than anything else, which is his 4-seam, his change in the slider, mixes in a curve a little bit, and barely ever you'll see a sinker from him. I don't know it. We have to get down the road before I can accurately tell you what this will be from him. But I could see one or two things basically. He's either tendered, or he's going to vie for the fifth starter coming into spring training, and they'll see what they got then.
Mm. Love to hear it, man. And hopefully Jorge Soler finds a soft landing spot out there. Braves need to get things definitely pointed back in the right direction in terms of the old swing and miss rate. That's for sure. All right. Let's hit some college football. Dare I say, Bo, sneaky good weekend? Dare I say sneaky good weekend?
Yeah, it is. By the way, Ding, you asked me yesterday if I miss Gary Danielson.
Yeah.
I don't. I told you that yesterday. You know what I miss?
Hmm.
Turning on the TV at 3:30 and hearing this before an SEC game.
I know.
That's what I miss.
Yeah.
I
actually do miss Gary. I didn't get to put that in there yesterday, but I actually do miss Gary Danielson.
I miss hearing this music and then seeing Brad, my boy Brad Nessler, going, welcome in, and the Brad Nessler's voice. I think he's got one of the best voices for play-by-play anyways. Go ahead. I digress.
No, I can talk about it all day, man. I love that that CBS thing is something that will live with me for forever. It just feels like the 3:30 game doesn't hold as much weight anymore, and that's the problem. That's why I'm in my emotions about it.
It's such a good point because CBS got their pick, right?
Yep.
Of that game, and you would hear they always did a phenomenal job with the open, and then you would hear this music hit, and you'd see SEC highlights, and you'd see Brad and Gary sitting there, and boom. The crowd would be roaring, and you're about to get 3.5 hours of the best SEC football you can get most of the time.
The heavyweight matchup of the weekend. And that's what made it so special. That's why I do miss Gary. That's why I miss Brad. You don't ever, like, the 3:30 game on ESPN or ABC, you don't ever know who's even going to call it. You know what I mean? You're like, I wonder who's calling the game.
I can tell you who's calling the 3:30 game this week on ABC.
Tell me about it.
It's going to be Fowler and Herbstreit.
There you go.
Yeah, the A-team.
Yeah. The A-team, that'll be fun to watch. Georgia 15-point favorite down in Jacksonville at Everbank Stadium. We talked about earlier in the week. Next year will be the last year for a couple of years it'll be at Everbank Stadium. But nonetheless, the neutral site matchup, as it always is, first weekend here in November, Florida and Georgia. I want to bring this up to you because I was talking to some buddies about this. Georgia isn't necessarily in charge of their own outcome in the SEC right now. Right, A&M, LSU still have everything in front of them. If the favorites went out, Texas beat Texas A&M, LSU beats Bama, everything works out, you're getting those two teams in the title game, right? Because of the strength of schedule tiebreaker.
But hold on now.
No, that's true. That's the absolute truth.
If Georgia wins out,
right,
they'll play A&M.
If Texas beats Texas A&M, which they'll be favored in.
No, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Texas.
I know, but it's about strength schedule.
But since when does head-to-head not count first?
Because they don't have a head-to-head with Texas A&M. That's why.
But it would Georgia and A&M would be the only one-loss teams.
No, Texas would be the one-loss team.
But Georgia goes over Texas. They beat them head-to-head.
I'm just telling you, man, this is how it all works out. Trust me.
I refuse. Call Rusty Manziel.
Look at
Dylan,
it.
Text Rusty
Look
Manziel
at it.
Right now.
Look at it.
And ask him this guy.
As a matter of fact, you know why? Because Texas wouldn't go in over Georgia. LSU would go in over both of them. That's why. There you go. That's your tie-breaking scenario. Anyways.
No.
I promise. I'm not crazy. I promise.
Oh, you're saying you're, in that scenario.
It would be LSU and A&M in a rematch.
In that scenario, there's like a four-way tie is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, I was just going head-to-head.
No. There's a four-way tie. That's what I'm saying. It's all about the combined
record. LSU's dead to me. They died last weekend.
Anyway, yeah. They died last weekend, even though they didn't. All right, so looking at Georgia's schedule, they get Florida. They're going to get Ole Miss. We mentioned that. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin mad that he doesn't have the nighttime matchup. Then you get Tennessee, and then you get the rambling wreck for Georgia Tech. My question is does it even matter? Because you're just controlling seeding at this point for Georgia. It matters to get a home game, right? But in the end, you're going to probably get in the playoff even with another loss if you're Georgia. It only matters about seeding and do you want to play at home.
Don't be so sure about that. Based on what all those teams that are still in the mix, I mean, if LSU wins out and somehow A&M wins out and those two teams play in the SEC title game, both those teams are in if LSU wins the SEC title.
So what you're telling me is if Georgia loses another game, which I don't believe they will. I'm looking at the schedule. I know that Tennessee will have a puncher's chance. Ole Miss, all these teams have a puncher's chance. I just don't think they will. I don't think they'll pull it off. Although Georgia hasn't looked invincible the way that we've grown accustomed to. But I guess what your point is if LSU and A&M play in the SEC title game, then Texas is still a one-loss team and having beat A&M, and then let's just say Bama wins out.
A&M wouldn't be in the title game though in that There's no way A&M's in the title game if Texas beats them.
No, yes, they are. That's how this works. We've talked about this.
I'm telling you, that's not that. There's no way that can happen because there's just no.
I'm
way.
Trying to listen no to me. To I'm me. Speaking facts to you. This is a well-known fact that if Texas beats Texas A&M and LSU beats Alabama, Texas A&M and LSU will play in Atlanta unless something crazy happens outside of that. But if everything, if all the favorites went out, because LSU's favored against Bama next weekend, Texas would be favored against Texas A&M. That's the scenario.
I don't know how we didn't.
I thought we crossed this off the list on Tuesday.
I refuse to recognize.
It goes down to strength of schedule as it shouldn't, but it does. All right, and so I guess my question kind of took a backseat. Does it even matter for Georgia, if Florida were not to knock them off this weekend?
It does.
Probably does because of seeding.
I'm going to tell you something. If A&M and LSU play, one of those teams is in automatically, and Texas only has one loss, I think Texas and a one loss is in over Georgia with two losses, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to argue against.
Because they would have beat the SEC champion. That counts for something. And Georgia's got two losses, and one of those, you know, that's just how it goes. And one of those losses doesn't look that great right now because neither one of those losses would look great because they have a chance to be both 3 to 4 lost teams.
Well, odds are Georgia's probably not losing down the stretch, although, like I said, all four of those teams, a puncher's chance. Somebody can land a haymaker. Speaking of landing haymakers, we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about this Cowboys-Falcons matchup. We already knew. We talked about it earlier in the week. Cowboys, worst rushing offense in the NFL, right? But I got one stat. Even I wasn't ready for it, even knowing that. All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. It's the Cowboys. It's the Falcons. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.